The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show for a Friday with Brian and Peter. And Peter, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Brian. Doing good. Once again, I suppose apologies for not being in the studio with you again, but I seem to get the rainy day outdoor-y gigs, which I absolutely love, as you're well aware. And at the same token, I suppose we all have those things like butter gardens to visit where they must, I suppose, pay the bills, if that's fair to say, and I suppose allowed as well, is it?
It is indeed. Peter, can we tell them about the thing?
What thing, Brian?
The thing. You know, the thing we were talking about.
Which thing is this?
Oh, he does not. It could be one of two things, in fact. The thing. I'll give you a clue and you tell me whether we can talk about it or not. Okay?
Yes, go ahead.
The Dutch.
Oh, we'll save the end of the show.
We'll save to the end of the show, okay.
Tell him after. It'll. We've got a great show lined up, as always, another interesting, intriguing, different, but nice story one. So, no, let's keep it to the end. They can have it with their coffee.
So that's not on this show, but that's coming up in the future at some time. But the other thing is probably that next week we'll be 1 year on the air.
We're 1 year together, Brian.
Yes, it's our anniversary.
What are you going to get me?
I don't know. The Valentine's card was enough, I thought.
Yeah, in my imagination it was quite... We're going down a very dodgy road here. Hey, we should do the other thing.
Yes.
We should.
Will we do that next week or will we do it now?
No, let's do it this week in advance for next week.
Front load the thank yous, yes.
No, we should. We should say thanks because I suppose without you listening now to me and Brian talk every single week for 52 weeks for the banter, for the correspondence, for the emails, for the comments, for the notes on Twitter, for the text messages into studio when I am in there, it would mean nothing.
And I'll prove that you. Because I tell you what, we don't do it for the money because there is none. We don't do it for the free makeup because it's radio, not television. We do it for the listeners. But there's also another cohort of people that we could not do the show without, and that's the people who are our guests on the show. And when we go roaming with our microphones, the people who are prepared to tell us their stories about their interaction with the earth and the ground and all things landscaping and gardening and growing.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And I have to say in that, equally, we've met so many people who, like our guests last week, Vince and Ronnie, who are not gardeners and also do what they do for free. And, you know, I suppose part of the reason I got into podcasting in the first place was because it gave me a little bit of a voice, and I suppose what 1 year later, alongside yourself, Brian, there's other guys out there who equally do something for the love of the game because they enjoy it, because it's great outdoors, and we get to give them a little bit of a voice. And I think, and it's fair to say, and we know by the listener numbers, which are phenomenal, we were number one on iTunes yet again, and ahead of all of the BBC podcasts, no offence, and the greatest respect to the BBC, to do a really good job, but you know, it's volunteers interviewing volunteers, and it's a good story and it shows.
Yeah, so, we're not the BBC, and we don't have the budget of a population of 60 million and a television license. But we do thank you all the same. What have we got this week?
Hey, yeah, we've got another interesting one, and don't turn off your stereo when I introduce this, but there's an old art which seems to be on the way out. It's known as hedge laying.
Let's have a listen to Hedge Laying, the Renaissance.
I'm out in the middle of absolute nowhere in the back end of Dublin. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 10, 12 people here dressed up on what is a pretty blustery wind chill day. There's axes and scythes and rakes and what appears to be getting done is the annihilation of what is an old skiok overgrown hedge, and somehow or another, I suppose I should put in brackets here because I've done this before, it is actually good for the hedges, but if you're passing by, you'd kind of be going short of axe murderers for trees kind of a quote, maybe is what you'd perceive. This mightn't sound like it's something that would appeal to you, but whether you're grow your own gardener or just a person who likes walking in the countryside, the bit in here that's important is there's a, and I'm pacing it out here, there's a 1.5 metre distance and there's uprights. If you can imagine bamboo canes placed at one big pace apart. And then all of the hedges that have been ripped out are woven in through almost like, you know these willow fences you see in garden centres? Well, it's like one of them, except it's made from the hedges that have been ripped apart. Is this making sense? So you make a fence, a natural fence. It's called a hedge laying. You know, there was a quote that I saw midweek pop up on my computer screen, and it said the day you get bored with your job is the day you should jack it in. I think in this one, the day it stops creating intrigue or mystique or I wonder why or I need a little bit more info to give me that behind the scenes, I think that's the day I need to jack it all in. I'm going to go and have a chat with one or two of the people here and see if I can find out a little bit more. Standing next to me is
Robert Taylor.
Robert, why and what made you come on a hedge laying day out in this wind chill, cold, freezing day?
First of all, it's a nice day. I think it's a nice day. Yeah. It's a good winter's day. Just interested to see the process of hedge laying. It seems to be an old art, like it seems to be dying out. So I'm just interested to see how it goes and what's involved with it.
Have you ever done it before?
No, I haven't, but hopefully I'll do it in the future. My sister has a house and it's got a hedge around the side of it, so I might look into doing that.
Have you got hedges on your own land? Do you have land? Is that a fair question?
Yeah, we have land, but we haven't got hedges, so just kind of our house is kind of bordered on. We've got two hedges on each side, so it's kind of there's a fence on each side, so it's not really there's no hedges as such.
If you're in the pub having a pint and your mates turned around and said, well, what did you do today? And one, well, sure, look, I went and I did that on the computer. And the other guy says, oh, I watched the football. And the other guy says, well, I watched, you know, Ireland eventually play a rugby match. Yeah. It comes to you and you say, I went hedge laying. What do you think the reaction would be?
I'd say to be interested to see what was involved. They might be a bit jealous, to be honest with you, because they're stuck inside. Friends are at work, so they'd be kind of envious, I suppose.
Do you think skills, old heritage style crafts like this are making a comeback?
I think it's important to look back on how things were done years ago. Kind of, we lost run of ourselves there for a while, so it's kind of good to get back to nature and back to the arts that are dying out.
Yeah.
The old skills, because you shouldn't forget your heritage, I think. Like, so.
No,
that's great.
You're obviously, you're paying for the privilege of this day out?
Yeah. I'm in the Botanic Gardens as a student, so the chance came just to come on the day out, so I took it. Like.
Okay, very good.
Just I've seen this done on websites and I've seen pictures of it, but to see it being done in the flesh, I think it's kind of makes you more confident doing it yourself.
Is it that bit of hands-on that no matter how many instructional booklets you read, that you need somebody to kind of go, no, a bit to the left instead of a bit to the right, what about that branch? Is there an element of that to it?
Exactly, yeah. I think it's more confidence. Somebody says, yeah, that's how you do it. I think when you're reading a book, you kind of you can look as you said, you can look as many books you want, but actually doing it, like physically doing it, that's the only way you learn, I think.
You can probably hear the wind coming down the microphone, I'm sure, or feel it in the background. Standing next to me is
Claire Nicol.
Claire, you've never done this before in your life?
No.
What possessed you to come out on such a glorious day in North County Dublin?
Well, somebody else dropped out, so I thought I'd fill the place. And yeah, here I am.
Have you learned much?
Yeah, it's really interesting, and he's a good teacher as well, because I didn't have a clue what I was doing, and he kind of makes it seem easy, so that helps.
You're obviously a member or a student in the Botanic Gardens as well?
I am, yeah. I'm second year of the horticulture degree.
They obviously, in the bots, don't have the bots. See, those in the know the slang, but they obviously don't have hedgerows like this in the Botanic Gardens.
No, nothing like this.
When you go home to the pub and the girls say, well, what did you do today? Well, I got my eyebrows plucked and I got a fake tan and I got a manicure, and you say, well, I went out hedge laying, what do you think the reaction is?
Well, I know the reaction when I told people I was coming out today, so I can only imagine.
Did they chuckle?
A little, yeah. Quite a few jokes about it.
Do you think there's a little bit where it puts you in touch back with nature doing things like this?
I guess so, and kind of history as well, because it's something that, you know, it's dying out and people need to learn these things and carry them on. So it's good to learn and maybe pass it on to someone else someday, I suppose.
There's a bit where from one side of the hedge it almost looks like it's been butchered to be Jesus. On the other side it looks quite neat and organised and structural.
Yes, I guess so. Once it's set in and those bits have kind of sealed over where we've been hacking at them, it'll look a bit better as well, so in time.
And there is an element of hacking to it.
There's quite a bit of hacking, yes.
But so even though it's old art skill, I mean, I'm looking at the tools that you have here and it's fairly much hatchets and big old mallets and yeah, brute force, and but yet it's old art skill and genteel and structured.
Well, you have to hack in the right place, I guess, so that takes skill. To try and hit the same place each time, that takes a lot of skill.
Hey, listen, lovely chat with you.
You too.
So I'm standing with Mark McDougall. I'm actually standing in a hedge. And Mark is, are you a member or a chairman?
Secretary.
Of the Hedge Laying Association of Ireland. Mark, I was talking with one or two of the students of the National Botanic Gardens who you are out with today. And I was saying to one of the girls when she got home and said to her friends that what she was doing today, and she said, yes, there would have been a few chuckles when she said she was hedge laying. For those at home, can you explain what hedge laying is?
Hedge laying is the traditional method of managing hedgerows. It keeps a hedge young and alive, and really at this stage they don't know how long it'll stay alive for, but there are hedges in the UK which they have dated to well over 1,000 years. Some indeed may have been planted in Roman times and have been managed by this method over the centuries.
We pass hedges, I mean, whether you go walking in Newbridge Park or whether you go walking in the, I suppose, the Phoenix Park or wherever the case may be, I mean, there are literally hedges all around us. What vital role do they play in the bigger picture?
Well, it's becoming increasingly clear that hedges have played a very important role in our landscape. They are kind of the last refuge for many of our woodland plants. Most of our mammal wildlife would be associated with hedgerows, insects, birds. And when it comes to agricultural stuff, it turns out that hedges, the removal of hedgerows has shown what hedgerows are actually doing. They're very good in terms of preventing erosion. They're very good at slowing the movement of water across a landscape. We've had huge flooding events recently. Now, some of it may be to do with the removal of hedgerows, where water just cascades off the land into rivers, doesn't get slowed down at all. The river rises very quickly, and you end up with flooding further downstream in the villages and towns. So there's any number of things. Hedges can provide an actual physical barrier between livestock, preventing the spread of disease. They they can provide, if they manage properly, tons of firewood for whoever owns them, and can heat their entire house for the year. Well, there's any amount of stuff. Hedges are all good.
There seems to be, is it fair to say, on one hand, the perception where I rip out the hedgerow and I put in a block wall, well, it's lower maintenance. On the other hand, there are young people, I mean, 20 years of age on this day out, who have chosen to not listen to the football or chosen not to go to the pub, to come out and learn what they tell me is a traditional skill. What intrigues people, or what type of person do you think is intrigued by coming on such a day out?
I think you have to have a basic interest in nature and in traditional methods of farming. The high intensity methods that are used these days, they don't appeal to a lot of people. And when you go walking on a country road at the end of spring and you see what's been done to the hedges with flails and shattered stems and hedges full of gaps, and a lot of people, it's clear to them that isn't, they're not beautiful, and the hedges are supposed to be beautiful, and the countryside is supposed to be beautiful. And when they hear about how hedges were managed, and then they find out that it's when they see it happening and being done in front of them, they find out that they are interested in working with their hands in a traditional, environmentally friendly way. It's a sustainable thing. It ticks all the boxes for anyone who would consider themselves environmentally friendly, or even just not an enemy of the environment.
How long have you been doing this yourself, and what's your own background, just to give people an idea?
I've been doing it, about 15 years now. I got involved in it with conservation volunteers, who are a largely Dublin-based group in the late 1990s, and I had been involved in all sorts of things before that. Band management. When I left school, I worked on ships. Then I was married and had children, and just decided to go in a whole different direction. And I was working with conservation volunteers. They were doing some of this hedge laying, and I just found it intriguing, building a whole new hedge out of an old ropey line of trees. It's an extraordinary and very satisfying thing to do.
Is there a point where hedge laying excludes you by genre?
No, there isn't. I think probably once you get to about 12 or 13, some of the tools we use, I don't think people would be comfortable with, especially insurance companies with young children using them. Everything we use, hand tools, have to be very sharp, and then you progress to using chainsaws. So I've been to competitions in England where they have under 13s, under 14 age group, that's that type of age, and then they have veterans who are up to 90. As long as they can still hold an axe, they're still going strong.
One of your students noted to me, or at least I noted to her, that it was a little bit hacking of a hedge, and she commented back to me that yes, it is hacking, but it's knowing where to hack and hacking in the right place. I thought that was a very nice comment.
Yeah, and she's very true. It is you are cutting the hedge. A lot of people, when they see you doing it, they think you're actually killing the hedge, but the hedge, it's just like pruning a plant. The hedge grows back in a terrific way. And thing about hedgeling is, these people who are here today will learn the basics, and they will learn the basics quite well in a day, but you spend the entire rest of your life learning how to do it properly.
If you were to describe a finished hedge that has been hedge laid, sounds an awful funny question, but
it appears very strange. It looks very neat, it looks very thick. The trees that you can see in it are all sloping at an angle of about 40 degrees, maybe more, from the ground.
Because they're hacked right at the base, just a couple of inches above ground level.
And laid over on their sides, that's right. And new growth comes from the just beneath the cut. The trunks of the tree themselves are still attached to the stump, so the sap rises through them, they green up in the spring. They become incredibly dense, incredibly strong things. There's always mention of the Allied tanks in Normandy coming up against laid hedges there and actually not being able to get through them. That's the kind of strength you're talking about.
when I first walked in here, I described it to those at home who've never seen it before. It's structured almost like a sheet of willow fencing that you might buy in a super-duper hypermarket garden centre, except it's got a natural weave to it. Is that a fair description?
It is. It's meant to be stock-proof. There are meant to be no gaps in it, so even the most tenacious little lambs aren't supposed to be able to find their way through it. And that is, in fact, how it works. Nothing can get through it. It's been around for thousands of years, and it's been keeping the livestock in and the wolves out quite successfully all down through history, and it still works for keeping the livestock in and keeping whatever's on the other side out. And it looks wonderful, and it lasts forever.
If Mary McGinnity at home taught listening to this piece of audio, this is a day I'd like to go and learn, how much would it cost her? And again, how does she get in touch, or who does she call?
She can call us. All the information, again, is on the Hedgelaying website, www.hedgelaying.ie. Cost would probably be about somewhere between 50 and 80 euro for a day course. We are restricted in when we can do this, and quite rightly, by the Habitats Directive. There's no hedges are allowed to be cut between the end of February to the start of September. So the hedge laying season is from the 1st of September to the 28th of February. And we put details of our training courses up on the website. We don't have an annual training course rota that we would be doing something somewhere every year. The training courses take place where there is a demand for them. We always advertise them then on the website, and people can phone us and see if this place is available.
Thank you so much for your time. You're an absolute gentleman.
Thank you.
The wind blows and hailstones are drenching these old clothes. I'm frozen and failing to see why everyone's out just to knock you and hurt you. I'm aching from just trying to be. Will you guard me? Never let them harm me. Reach your arms around me. Will you be a harbor at my shoulder? Always watching over. Try to hold me closer. Shelter me and shield me from the world. From the world. My faith has been fractured by outlaws and actors and others who've passed through my doors. I'm hoping what's broken can someday be mended. I'm open to offers or cures. Will you guard me? Never let them harm me. Reach your arms around me. Will you be a harbor at my shoulder? Always watching over. Try to hold me closer. Shelter me and shield me. Will you guard me? Never let them harm me. Reach your arms around me. Will you be a harbor at my shoulder? Always watching over. Try to hold me closer. Shelter me and shield me from the world. From the world. As the for me.
Dublin City FM, Eleanor McAvoy and Harbour from her latest album Alone. Check it out, it's on iTunes, it's everywhere. Peter, it's another good show in the can, and that's what they say on radio, in the can. Thanks to our guests on the show today.
Yeah, another great show, and like you said, yeah, thanks to them, thanks to you for listening, and another great show, Brian. Thank you for standing by my side for 51 weeks heading into 52.
What was the teaser from the start? What's happening next week?
Next week, yeah, we have a really nice one. Good friend of mine, garden designer Angela Duke is her name, and we will be coming to you live from the residence of the Netherlands ambassador to Ireland.
The Sod Show have an invite to go to the Dutch Embassy
for tea.
We'll be coming to you recorded from the Dutch Embassy next Friday at 3 p.m. Peter, it's just about the end of the show. How do people get in touch?
Oh yeah, iTunes, just search all one word, Sod Show. On Twitter, hashtag any tweet, Sod Show, it'll hit us that way. And other than that, you'll also find more info on today's guests, what they do, the links and everything that goes with it on blog.donaghanlandscaping.com.
That's brilliant. Catch you next week at 3 p.m. for our 1 year anniversary. Take care, bye bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye bye. Show my